Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. People, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's the 26th day of May, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. Oh, let's see. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 if you want to come up on the air to unmute. If you want to, come up on the air and talk about it, man, you got to hit *6 to unmute. It is currently 60 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of Northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high 71 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And just a beautiful day. I mean, it's finally here, summer. The grass is green, and it's warm. You don't have to run heaters 24/7 that you can't afford to pay for. And other than that, man, it's just a nice day. That being said, let's see what we have on the itinerary for today. We were going to open up, Obama let in admitted MS-13 gang members, whistleblower says, and that's the article I have coming up. But there were some people wanting to talk about home fortification or something, if they're there and people have some things they want to throw out there, I'd be willing to join in the conversation, and we'll see what happens when we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, yesterday at the end of the program, I can't remember, there's a couple of fellas there and a couple of ladies there, and they were wanting to talk about, you know, how do you, if you're going to stand your ground in your own house, how do you prepare yourself? Well, I can't come up on here and tell everybody what I'm fixing to do because I want it to be a surprise, but we could go over some basic ideas. Well, now, you know, surveillance, you know, if you know which direction the threat is coming from and you have limited firepower, you may want to make sure you direct it to the right spot. Anything to alarm you. Surveillance cameras are good, but you still want something to, you know, an alarm system. One thing we did a long time ago to protect something we were doing. As you know, you take monofilament line and you can string it and just make a grid out of it, just going around any goddamn thing. And you just leave it so you can pull it taut when you want to walk over it. And then when you move out, so that, and you can hook cans and what might have you, an old door buzzer, man, anything that, you know, break a contact, make a noise, let you know something's going on. You know, you always a good idea to have more than one way out, preferably three. If you're gonna, you know, you might not be able to hold the spot. You might want to have three ways to get away, three different places to go. You want to, of course, you want to have your weapons positioned to where you can use them. I mean, if you're one person or two people, you know, holding a whole house, and you might want to have them positioned around where you can get a hold of them. You might want to have some things like dangling fish hooks on your entryways. If you know that something's coming, I mean, you can sure as hell make it tough getting in. And a fire extinguisher, I believe that's a good idea because they like burning people alive. A gas mask is a must. You know, one of the first things they're going to do is come in with flashbangs and tear gas if they're going to try and take you. You know, the flashbangs, you know, you might not be, you know, something like if where you're basically going to be, you know, if it's in the same room with you, maybe roll a couch over on it or something like that before it goes off, and then still be there to greet your new guests when they come through the door. And of course, making it hard for them to come through the door probably wouldn't be a bad idea. And it's really, you know, people, you know, you can get you can build yourself, you know, like a lock to go over the door. Goddamn, what the hell would you call it? Like on a fort. Like a fort door, you know, a couple of, what the hell was it? Latches on either side, and then a big 2x6 or something down that slides down through it. Other than that, if there's some more people there that want to come up and maybe give some ideas, now's the time. All righty then, we're going to jump into an article then.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got some motion sensors. This is Bob in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I bought some motion sensors. I just haven't installed them yet. What they do is they just send out a signal to a receiver, and it just makes a noise so you know that whoever's walking by there's something there.
Yeah, and you know, the motion sensors with the lights, too, you know, like lighting so that you can throw some light.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I got about five of those. I'm going to hang them on two by the garage and three on the side of the house.
Oh,
might
yeah.
Get a little annoying for neighbors. I don't know, but they got four different settings on them.
Yeah, fortification. You know,
drive.
Like your walls. You know, I guess a person could sandbag their house. I mean, the insides of the walls. But things like, you know, books are a pretty good barrier between the lead and the body. And, you know, strategically placed bookshelves and such as that. I mean, basically, you know, each situation's a lot different. You know, I've lived in this place I'm here at shit over 20 years. And, you know, I'm always seeing other things. Well, I could do that, you know, where the trees are. And I mean, it's kind of a constant thing that you're thinking about, you know, and adjusting all the time. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if the worst happens, you'll be able to do your best.
I guess that's all we can do. I get a lot of ideas from Mark Kornke. He does a lot with Christmas tree lights and everything.
Oh yeah. Well, if you've got the night vision, he's talked about the LEDs. I think I heard Flea trying to get in. Come on in, brother.
Yeah. You know those glue traps that you buy at Home Depot for mice and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I've designed one. It's like a doormat. It's 3x6.
I like it. Hell yeah. Oh yeah. Anything. I mean, if it comes down, you know, if you have enough, you know, if they start confiscating things, you know what I'm saying? If you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound. I mean, make every inch that they cover a hazard. A deadly hazard, that's all I can say, you know. To get on here and, you know, try to tell you what, you know, what somebody's got. Like I said, if you want to find out what I'm going to do, the price of admission's high.
Yeah, you don't want to give any secrets away. I mean, that's...
Well, like I said, each situation's different. Where you're located, you know, what are your assets? What are your liabilities? I mean, nothing's perfect. I mean, if I had $1 million, of course, I would go and I'd be out. I'd be on a hilltop with a fortified in the ground, probably bunker type situation. You know, mm-hmm. like bury some cargo. Some of those what the hell are they? You know, they hook on the back of the truck those. But you know, the cargo.
Freight containers.
Freight containers. Yeah. I mean, I that's what I thought. You know, if I ever had the bucks, that's what I'd do. I mean, I'd get out the welder. I'd have a two-story, one story underground, one story, maybe three stories, and come up and have a walkway around it with, you know, metal shielding. I mean, what a person can do is just, you know, what resource do you have and how much ambition? But I would do a whole lot more. I do what I can. That's all anybody can do. You do what you can with what you got.
Yeah, I live in
the city. Pretty
doesn't work out too well for me. But do what I can.
Oh yeah, I heard somebody else trying to get in. Go ahead.
I got a. This is Frank Face. I got a pretty decent setup in my house. I got a block home. I got security bars on all the windows and the doors, and I have a solar screen panel covering all the windows. So like, even if you broke the glass out, as long as those panels weren't ripped out, it would obscure your vision.
Oh yeah, concealment. I mean, you got to think the basics: concealment, cover, fortification, surveillance, or alarms. You know, it's you know, and if you're gonna move, you know, you can go on. I can't think of the name of these. All these little magazines. You can go online. You can get smoke grenades. Look like a little hand grenade. And I mean, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea if you were gonna make a move. You know, as some way to cover yourself on the way out. But like I said, it's to each person, and you know, well, I guess if you're in a tract home, the houses would be the same. But basically, you know, each situation is different. Think about everything you can do to make it hard and deadly for them to get to you. That's all, you know. And if you're determined to stay there, I mean, to do it. You know, fight
right.
Until the end.
Right.
You can take all the furniture in your house and basically push it into your hallways and doorways and all that, and that'll make a really big problem for them. And it basically destroys all their training. Having to move furniture destroys their training.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, that and like you know, I've heard Mark talk about it, and I really think that's a good idea. I've always saved old fish hooks because I might have to – I mean, I sharpen them. I mean, I catch more fish than most people just because I sharpen my hooks, but I'll sharpen them right down until – there's just a little nub there,
uh-huh.
And, you know, and exactly. But, you know, you think about stringing those in a hallway or something, and somebody comes crashing, goddamn hooks are grabbing you with about 12-pound line on it. You're tangled up in them. That would be ugly. And it'd be
I'd get their attention.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I heard Mark talking about microwaves.
Hey, man. Well,
I think it was Mark.
Anything that you can do, I mean, be creative. I mean, like you say, their training is not going to, if you're innovative and, you know, each situation is different, man, they can't, I mean, I guess they could train for house to house, but it'd take them a whole long time to get very many houses.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, yeah. I mean, communications, you know, besides your phone, you know, some way to get the message out that you're under attack would probably be a good idea. One and a couple of backups, probably. You know, maybe FM radios and then CB radio. And then you'd have the phone. That'd be three of those. I'd go in threes.
Maybe a spanner.
Yeah, exactly. You never know what it's going to be. And if you know, like your weapons, you know, it's good to have them where they're at. But if you get in a hot spot, you might want to have some extra ammo there, too, to keep that position held. If it depends on how many people you got operating, you know, can somebody bring ammo? Can, you know, and medical, boy, you better have your medical shit ready. Because chances are somebody's going to get hurt. It's kind of a depressing thing to talk about on a frickin' Friday, but hey, you know what? It's reality. And it's coming, people.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yep, unfortunately.
Memorial Day.
I brought this up.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I brought this up before, but it's worth mentioning again. When the AATF hit my former next-door neighbor back in New York by mistake, they just basically barged in. They accosted his mom, set her aside, proceeded to go up a stairway that made a couple turns. My friend didn't know what exactly was going on. He picked his shotgun up off the shelf, and the way he had it, the bolt was open, but it was ready to shuck around into it. So he just launched it forward and shucked it in there before the ATF got to the landing, before they could actually see each other. And the ATF went, long gun, long gun, long gun, and scrambled back down the steps.
Well, yeah, I mean, a gun's no good if it ain't, I mean, you know, they want you locked over in Australia, they got you locking your gun into a safe, and there's a reason for that, and it ain't to protect you. Your gun should, I mean, a gun ain't no goddamn good if it ain't loaded. Just a club, and a poor one at that. They're better. You can make a baseball bat's a better club than a rifle. But, yeah, I mean, close combat, knives.
One more point on that, Henry.
Pardon?
One more point about that. If it was a rifle that was already chambered, you know, he just clicked the safety off, that ATF officer might have turned that corner, seen my friend, and engaged him. And then it would have been a person with no body armor versus a person with body armor. But the sound of that shotgun in and of itself prevented that altercation.
Yeah. It will. I mean, it will. I mean, I don't like to really talk about all the many things that, you know, I've been involved in because, again, you know, it's things that you've got stored in your thinking about what you're going to do next time, and you really don't want to map out anything for them to look at. It should be a surprise to them. Every house they come to should be a different surprise to them. And it wouldn't take them long if everybody was serious and everybody fought like a goddamn savage. It wouldn't take them long until they wouldn't want to do that no more. The money wouldn't make it worth it. You know, they're losing two or three every time they come to somebody's house. And it may come down to that, the way things are going. But it's the same old scenario. If all of us were on the same frickin' page, all we'd have to do is say no and mean it. But because of the sellouts and the goddamn traitors that are going to cooperate to this degree over here and that degree over there, and some of them participating in it because, you know, it keeps their comfort zone, it's going to, in the beginning, there's going to be people lost because of the traitors. And that's another reason, you know, I don't give a shit what nobody says. These Judeo-Christians, these people who have committed treason against the rest of us, they're going to cost us lives. And in the end, I want to see them punished for it. Even if I ain't here, I'm hoping that enough people have, heard the message, enough people have thought it out, and that these people will be held to account. Because, I mean, this is what has killed this country, is just a handful of goddamn cowards. Spineless son of a bitches, people who, rather than stand up like a man, they'd bend down and suck an ass because they think it gets them further. And when they sell their rights out, they sell yours.
I don't have any guns, but that guy over there does, you know.
Exactly. And that's what they would do, too. Make no mistake about it, man. People, I've seen it. I mean, people, you know, they'll, oh, yeah, they're gun-ho, ready to go, 100%, you know. And when things go bad, you see assholes and elbows. That's been my experience.
Right. I've often thought that unless neighbors stick together, they pick you off one by one. That's the way they do it.
Well, I think, you know, the bottom line, people got to realize they do not have enough of, the enemy does not have enough troops to just come and start picking people off one at a time. They'll go after, if they come after the guns, this is my prediction, they'll go after the ones that are just going to turn them over. And then the ones that they think aren't going to fight, that's where they're going to go next and try to, just terrorize the hell out of them, hoping that they'll get some more just to fold. But, if the first house...
Wheel on other people.
Exactly. And then that's going to be another thing. The rats. It's going to have to go back like it was when I was young. I mean, a rat? What the hell do you mean you're a rat? You're marked. There's a place for you in the ground. Anybody that does that, man, I mean, it's got to make a statement when it happens that this is unacceptable. You do this and you know what? Yeah, there's nothing we won't do to you.
I don't think they can ever get the gun control agenda done in Arizona. We've had a taste of constitutional carry, and I think everybody likes it a little too much.
Yeah, I hear you. But if they do it on a federal level and they start coming, I mean, like I said, I grew up in a rough place. And I've seen people talk, and I've seen talkers, and I've seen doers, and I've seen people that just fucking fold into shit and drop down into the fetal position on the first round fired over their head. You know what I mean? You don't know what nobody's going to do until it happens. And unless it's like family, you know, with my family, I never had a doubt who was covering my back and who was covering that with my right side, my left side. And I knew the guns would go off. But outside your family, maybe some people. I mean, there's a couple of fellas that have, we've been back to back in fights in the bars and shit. We've been out and done some shit, and I know that they'll pull a trigger. But I mean, for people you don't know, I mean, I've seen people that are. I seen a Marine dive into the goddamn floorboard of a car one night when the bullets started flying. And son of a bitch, even after it was over, it wouldn't come out of that fucking floorboard until we were out on the highway.
Wow.
I don't know how else to put it, guys.
Well, I run scenarios through my head sometimes, you know, like where if you live in a city or a little suburb area, if people got stuck together, because what worries me most is they pick people off one by one. They could drive up here with Humvees and that and go across my neighbor's house and drag them out kicking and screaming, beat them half to death, and nobody will do anything.
Yep.
I mean, what if the cops come up there, and the minute you saw them, you had some kind of a system to alert, like even a buzzer. You press a button and 15 people come up for the party at John's house.
Yeah, you know, that's, like I say again, that's
gun show at John's house.
That's a wonderful scenario. But I got to tell you that who's going to come? Man, if you're counting your life on somebody being there, I mean, Jesus, it better be somebody you know real well. Otherwise, you better figure out they're not going to be there and make the best fight of it you can just by yourself. You're better off because you're not delusional. You understand the lay of the land.
Right.
They might be going to get me, but you know what? I'm going to get five or six of them son of a bitches before they do.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking.
You know, I've dallied in this too long. I've been in too many situations where people were supposed to be there and they turned to shit. The time that I've spent in jail as a political prisoner, I wasn't there for anything for myself. I went there for other people. You know, I put myself to the hazard for other people. And, you expect other people would be that way, but I'm, like I said, and you're sitting there with the decision, do I walk through that door and it could cost me time in jail, a beating, maybe death? Or do I, I don't have to, I can just turn around and walk. I'm not summoned to this court. I can just go get in my rig and go home and sit down and watch a movie and be safe, or, you know, for a while. But when you make that decision, I mean, you gotta look at people. You gotta look at them hard. I mean, when this thing, starts happening, I mean, real time happening, that people are going to realize that, hey, you know what? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And it'll bring out the spirit in people after a while when there is no safe place that they can go and run and hide. But man, it's been my experience that people tend to run and hide when they can rather than stand to the hazard. And it's a sad situation because that ain't the way that I was raised to believe our people were. I mean, it was a stand. I mean, there used to be such a thing as goddamn pride in this country. You know, you didn't, the bully, I mean, you'd look, just take the bully on the playground. It's easier to run and give the bully your lunch money and hide. And how many people do that rather than, hey man, you know what, you son of a bitch. You might get my goddamn lunch money, but you're going to have to fight me every fucking day. every day. And I'm going to be putting some licks on your head, buddy.
I did that plenty of times, and one time a guy that was like 2 feet taller than me, I got my ass kicked, but he never did that again.
You got to put him to the trouble. You got to let him know that.
He didn't. It took him a little while, and he didn't leave unscathed. But
that's it.
He didn't say a word to me after that.
That's it, man. And
my
that's
dad looked at me, and I come home with a fat lip and a black eye.
Yeah.
He didn't say nothing either.
Yeah. That's what my dad used to tell me. He says, the bully might kick your ass, but if you fight him back, he won't come back at you because he knows you'll fight him back. He'd rather just go pick on somebody that'll just roll over.
There you go. And you know what?
And it works.
You know, like when I was a kid, I mean, it was a tough place. But, you know, you walk up and, I mean, you know it's going to happen. You might as well walk up and, I mean, bam, as hard as you can swing that first hit. Why not? Hit him in the throat. Do any dirty thing you can. I mean, hit him with anything you can pick up and hit him with. Why not? All right, we're going to get my ass kicked by you, you big bastard. But you know what? It's going to hurt. You're not going to just do it and walk away and it's just another day for you. You're going to know you ran into somebody. You mess with me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dion, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today, brother?
I'm doing quite well. Yeah, man. You know, I was taught the same thing as well. And you know what? I walked past this group. It was a group of ladies, I guess. They had some kids in front of them. And these ladies, they were saying, well, if the bullet pricks on you and you stand up to the bullet, don't let your bullet. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell does this make any sense for taking up yourself?
Well, you know,
you're taking up for yourself. This doesn't make any sense to me. It seems like it's just a war on masculinity and definitely on self-defense. Because I wasn't taught like that. You know what I'm saying? I was taught if somebody messed with you, you better not come home running and crying. You better walk the dog with him.
You damn straight.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, in the news you've had this, I guess it was somebody running for a senator there in Montana. And he body slammed one of those reporters the other day. And you have all these people coming up. You're leaders. You're brave. You're leaders of the United States. Oh, violence is never an answer. Violence. And, you know, well, what the hell are you doing in 190 countries perpetrating violence for the Jews to take people's resources? No, violence oftentimes is the only answer. And you don't let people walk on you. You let somebody push you today, two people are going to push you tomorrow, three the next day, and you might as well leave town. You stand your ground. And see, if people just understood their Bill of Rights and everybody just said, nope, you're not violating, you have to kill me. And I'm going to try and kill you while you're trying to kill me. That's just how it works. This wouldn't be going on. They've tried to pussify the people of this country and these punks coming up, these so-called representatives of mine in D.C. I guarantee you never been in a fight in their whole life. Couldn't whip the wind with a sack full of hammers. And they're up there. Violence is never the answer. No, don't be violent. Submit. Get over there to that ditch. Kneel down. Bend your head over. Make it easy for them, man. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back into this on the other side. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again. There's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew. And them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Dumb down our kids. It's MK Ultra. AIDS and SIDS. Chemtrail clouds. GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house. Your spouse protect against whatever they're from. Forehead! And domestic are the two types of venomous scum. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I learned history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:39 Pacific Time, and that was Thurman Ossley with Don't Come For My Rights. I mean, for my gun, my rights, all of it's the same. Before we went to break, you know, we were talking about it just used to be a part of growing up as a kid. You know, you faced the bullies. That was how you became a man and were able to take care of yourself. And, your parents could feel confident when you went out on your own that you could do okay. And, anymore, it's comply. You know, don't understand the bully. Understand these people. Understand my ass, man. I mean, either people are going to leave you alone or you got to do something about it. I was thinking during the break that the movie Unforgiven, there's a little scene in there. They're getting ready for a gunfight or whatever. And one of the guys, he only has one arm. And, he's cleaning his two pistols. And the one fella asked him and said, why, you only got one arm. Why do you carry two pistols? He said, I don't want to die for lack of shooting back. And I think that's sound words. I don't want to die for lack of shooting back. And if I am going to die, I want to take some of the son of a bitches with me.
I recall one time, Henry, I often wonder, I had a stepbrother out in California when I was a kid in the 60s, and one time we got in one hell of a fight. We both went to Bad Lip City. And I couldn't, once in a while I think, well, nobody stopped me. I mean, they had to hear it in the next block. And I could just picture my dad just pushing the stepmother away and say, don't you dare. That could only be what happened.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
we got in a fight, and it was during that time that I was getting bullied, and I come home and I told my dad about the bullying stuff or whatever. But I guess that's what he was figuring, too. He says, a little fighting isn't going to hurt you.
Oh, hell no. I mean, my dad, shit, he'd just hand you a weapon and walk away, you know, figure it out, kid.
That's what you
got to do.
I think about that once in a while, you know, it's not like somebody come around, oh, please stop this, don't do this.
What you got to understand is too many people out there today, I mean, even people who, you know, come up and they're talking about the fight and what might have you, have never even had a fist fight. When I was a kid, man, goddamn, we fought all the time. Even when I was in my 20s,
I lost my two front teeth probably about 27 years ago.
Well, you know, like I said, here where I grew up, this was a rough place. In the springtime, man, there was a lot of fighting going on. And even into my 20s, I mean, I used to fight all the time. I mean, it was the environment here. But now, you know, I'm telling you guys, like at the high school, they have a couple of boys, you know, going at it in the springtime. Goddamn cops coming in, arresting people. You can get 5 years in prison for a goddamn fist fight anymore. I mean, it has been a program to pussify America. But the way I grew up, man, when you go, you know, when somebody comes at you, you it's fight, it's on, man. And I mean, it's a fight to the death if that's what it takes.
With your fists, you don't pull out a machete and one guy, you know, at least you sort of kept it honorable.
Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. Anything I can get my hands on, everything's a weapon. My dad told me one time we were talking about this very thing. And he said, I always thought it'd be a hell of a thing to bite somebody on their scalp in a fight. And it was a couple months later, I got into a fight over here in the middle of town. And I had this son of a bitch by the neck. I roasted his face. And I just seen his hair. And I go, fuck, you know, bit that son of a bitch, man. You never heard somebody scream. So, I mean, like a woman. He was, there, I mean, no, there's no, you get in a fight, the fight's to win. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, you know, you're 100% right, man. It is, you know, the pussification. You know, I would listen to the Intelligence Portal when, you know, Wednesday morning. And Don, he brought that up about, you know, what they do in school now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they, you know, they cower down the kids and, you know, back in the day, it used to be, you know, when I got into a fight, well, who started it? Now, if both of them, both of the kids, they get suspended, you know. It got to a point where now, man, I heard one kid say, and I heard a principal say this too. They now, you know, if they catch a kid watching a fight, they not only they suspend the kids that are fighting, they suspend the kids that watch the fight.
Yeah, that's Sovietization, man. I mean, you think about the old Soviet Union. You know, this is one of the things they taught us in grade school when they were getting us ready to go kill a commie for mommy and telling us how terrible that this communism was. That, you know, and I've read a lot of books about that era, you know, when the communists took over in Russia. And it was just, you know, you knew somebody who said something and you didn't say something. You didn't tell on them not to rat. And that's where this is going. But they're starting to run into the core, the real people in this country, the American nationals. Well, I can remember when the first rat, when I grew up here, man, you didn't rat. Nobody, you did not want to be a rat. It was just, you weren't going to stay here long. You weren't going to live here. You're going to have to go away. And the Californians started invading, and man, things started changing and changing a lot. And I remember the first son of a bitch that ratted somebody off here and stayed. And then it was just like within a few years, man, goddamn everybody, that was how you got out. You know, with the crank and everything, they had it coming in here and somebody get busted. They don't want to go to jail and sit there and, I guess, withdraw from the crank. I mean, they're just ratting everybody out. Rat, 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 rat. And then, you know, the cell phones and everything, and everybody wants a cop to hold their hand. And I'm a scrawny little bastard, but I'll get in your face because I can call 911. Well, I got news for you, buddy. They can't get here quick enough. They're going to get me, but I'm going to beat you to a fucking pulp before they do. That has to be the attitude. We have to get away from this. Go ahead, brother.
It's just like what you said, you know. You catch these little SOBs out here, you know what I'm saying? They're real bad, and they wolf, you know what I'm saying, while they're in their car. Then you get up the side, and they won't even look at you. These are the cowards that I'm talking about.
Well,
you know, they do all, honk their horn, you know, stick their finger at you and all this crap. And then when you get right beside them, you know, they won't even look at you in your face. I had an incident like that about a week ago. I said, man, you don't want to almost hit me, but you, I said, now you want to be tough. You won't even look at me. I have my window down saying this. I said, man, you want to be tough. Now you won't even look at me. I said, look at you.
I hear you. My buddy Bill was a few years before he died, but he was down in Klamath, and somebody did that, you know, just cut right in front of him, flipped him off, and then, you know, and yelled out the window at him. So, you know, he was a fella. So he followed the guy to where he stopped, and he got out of the car, and here's this guy. I'm calling the cops. Man, I mean, come on. You're a bad guy? Is that your big claim to toughness? Is that you have a cell phone and you can call somebody for some balls you don't have? It has gotten disgusting. It really has. I mean, people used to have more pride than that. I mean, to go and have to tell on somebody? Go ahead.
And then when the cops show up, the person that actually perpetrated it will say that the other person did the exact same thing to him. He flipped me off. He's the one that cut me off. I mean, just totally pussified.
Man, the guy who played lead guitar in our band, Randy, I mean, he lifted weight since he was two, I think, man. I mean, he was always just muscled out buff. But he's not a likable enough guy, but if you set him off, man, I mean, we'd brawled in some places, you know, against other people and together, and man, he was a hell of a fighter. He was coming down the I-5 and somebody had cut him off like that and flipped him off, you know, you punk, you know, like that, and wrong dude. He followed him like 20 miles, man, until he went off an off ramp, and when he come up to the light, he jumped up, punched the goddamn window out of his car, beat the dog shit out of him. He did some time in jail for it. But, you know, that used to be the way things were. I'm, you know, you son of a bitch, you think I ain't willing to do a couple months in jail to let you know you aren't going to punk me? Yeah. And before that, it used to be when I was young here, you know, you'd get in a fight and the cops would show up and both guys had the balls to stand up and go as a mutual combat and walk away. And it was none of the police's business. But people are being turned into, it'd be, like I said, you got people now that have never even been in a fist fight in their whole life, but they still want to play the part of a man, you know, and get in people's faces and shit. And then, of course, the communists are going to step right in behind them. 5 years in jail if you beat the shit out of them. And somebody that, you know, got in your face. It is the pussification, because they want a bunch of weenies out here. You know, like I've said it before, you know, I'm sure the communists have brought the tapes to their handlers and said, oh, we have these Americans down where we want them, showing these assholes walking around with their pants hanging down around their frickin' knees. And, you know, and this is who, no, this ain't who you're against. There's real Americans out here. It's a sad situation. I mean, we're going to look at an article here. Obama let in admitted MS-13 gang members. And of course he did, whistleblower says. This is from Breitbart. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, said that a whistleblower turned over documents that showed more than a dozen apprehended illegal alien teenagers who admitted to being MS-13 gang members were released by the Obama administration to homes throughout the United States. And this is just what we told you they were doing. Now they're in your neighborhoods. And man, you're a racist if you don't like that until they, you know, rape your daughter, cut up your son with a machete. According to the report from the Washington Times, the Obama administration knowingly let in at least 16 admitted MS-13 gang members in 2014, all of whom entered the United States as teenagers. Citing internal documents, Johnson said that the teens were moved to juvenile homes after being released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. CBP, apprehended them, knew they were MS-13 gang members, and they possessed and dispersed them into our communities, Johnson said. Senator, this is what we were telling you was going on at the time. And of course, this is what's going on. At the same time that they're teaching your children to be little submissive, maybe even faggots, you know, because if you're a little boy, you want to be a little girl. If you're a little girl, you want to be a little boy. If you're can't make up your mind, you can be a transvestite and go into a different bathroom every day. But do not let your boys grow up to be men. Because they don't want to face men. They do not want to face American men. And like I said, the propaganda they put out there, you'd believe that everybody was just a queer or a transvestite or just a goddamn pussy altogether.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been telling people for decades that, you might not be against queers or whatever, but they're going to be trying to teach your kids in school that it's just a dandy lifestyle. And I said, it's going to get there. It's going to get there someday. So you better be against it. And
well,
it's here.
The thing is, it's this government. It's the communist, you know, setting up an indoctrination center and telling you your child, you have your child here to be taught to be a queer at 10 o'clock. Bite me, buddy. I mean, here's your fight right here. Everybody's looking to see where you're. There's your fight right there. Your children. A goddamn dog will die fighting for its young. But in this country, man, I see people that, I see these stories all the time. They refused to vaccinate. They came and took your children. Really? And there was no gunfight? You're a fucking American? Really? I don't think so.
Right. I'm actually in that, on a second rung of that, dealing with grandkids now. Don't just ball down and let them do whatever they want to my grandkids, okay?
I hear you. Well, the bottom line here is, my grandkids, if somebody did something to one of my grandkids, I mean, you know, something to try to harm them like that, or I would, shit. There's my fight. I mean, it doesn't matter where we fight our fights, so long as we fight and every one of us fights, they cannot defeat us. But you keep looking for that fight and avoiding the fight that's right there in your face, and you're not going nowhere.
Well, we had a little bit of a fortuitous thing. My grandson and I, he got sick when he got his first vaccination, and they actually had to take him to a hospital. I told my daughter and I said, you go back to that doctor, and you get a letter from that doctor saying no more vaccines or he had this, and get it documented from your doctor, and then you're going to use that letter to keep them from doing this again, and it's been working so far. Nobody wants to take a chance if your kid... You have proof that you had a reaction to it.
Yeah, but see, I'm an American national. I don't need proof. I don't need no doctor. I tell you, you're not going to put no poison in my child. You do that, and I'll put some poison in you. That's how it works in America. Tit for tat.
Right.
And if my children aren't safe, I don't like going around like some people will and talk about burning houses down with everybody in them and everything, but I will let you know this plain and clear. You try to do harm to my children and grandchildren, I will try to do harm to your grandchildren and children. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And that, and people used to understand that. That's why they didn't used to F with people. In my dad's time, I'm telling you, he wouldn't put up with it. He would shoot somebody, just flat ass pull that pistol out and pull the trigger. There wouldn't be no question about it. We'd deal with what came after. But in that situation, right. You know you're not going to do that. I got news for you. I will kill your ass. By the time I was 12 years old, we were sleeping with our guns. This is a rough fucking place. I ain't kidding you. My dad would come out. He heard something out back, boots and saddles. Go out there and empty the guns into the backyard. It wasn't no out there looking around. No, you went out there and just boom, 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 boom. I tell you what, the yard was kept clean. Nobody crossed it.
Henry,
go ahead.
You know how my dad used to answer the door? When people would knock on it, instead of saying, who is it? He'd always say, I got a gun.
Well, I'll tell you this. There came a period when they first started bringing the sheriffs in down here, and these goddamn sheriffs started harassing me and my brother. And they one time they were sitting, and they just turned their lights on, and we drove by, and they pulled us up. You were supposed to pull over, because I turned my lights. I go, who in the hell do you people think you are? And I went home, and I told my dad. And my dad, he picked up his pistol. My mom picked up her .38 and put it in her purse, and they went out and got in the rig. My dad drove down there and told him if he ever did that to one of us again, that he'd blow his goddamn head right off his shoulders. And the cop, he knew his dad wasn't fucking around. He said, yes, sir. And they didn't bother us no more.
Right.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is Hal.
Oh, Hal. How's it going, brother?
Good. As far as I can, and I wish we lived closer, but can I oblige you with some noise?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
How's that?
That works for me, brother. And that's what it's all about right there. It's whether you take shit or you don't.
Well, obviously, I'm still here, so I must have ate some shit. But I won't eat none when I can't.
I hear you, brother. You got to be smart. You got to be smart. That's the truth. What he's saying is true. You got to be smart. Pick your fight. But if it comes down to somebody thinks they're just going to run your ass over, I mean, either you're going to be run over or you're going to deal with it.
That's right. And when the time comes, I'm going to deal with it. And the trencher's almost ready. I just got to make it pretty.
Right on,
yours,
man. Right on.
I missed the last, I just got home from work, and I work at Barnum and Bailey Circus. Anyway, I didn't want to interrupt you guys. I thought that was timely.
There once.
Oh, that fit right in.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're killing me. You're killing me, man.
I'm listening in. I'm out.
Well, if I learned anything, Henry, I got a pump 12 gauge, and it'll take me 5 minutes to find it, and that's going to change today.
Really? Check this out. I'm upstairs. This isn't the room I'm normally in. Oh, I just touched a gun that quick. Right. Any room in my house. When they came here, when I was running for mayor, local newspaper came here to interview me at my house. And they had a picture in the newspaper, and they had my rebel flag up there, my battle flag. And I was sitting there, I had a suit and tie on. And they went into what a radical son of a bitch I was, and that I was completely surrounded by weapons. And yeah, I am. In the town I live in, you know, in Chiloquin, it's the law. You have to have, every household has to have a 12-gauge shotgun or better. And every adult male is supposed to carry a sidearm.
That's a place to live right there.
Oh, buddy. Like I said, when I was young, it was a wild place, but you were free here. Nobody messed with nobody, and it wasn't because the cops were protecting them. It was because if you mess with somebody, you better goddamn mean it, and you better have a good reason, because it was going to the wall every time.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Did you get your flag back?
No, I actually, in a way I did. I mean, I could have had it. I mean, it was to be sent back to me, but I gave it to Spike to put in his studio.
All right. I'm getting old. I forgot. I remember. That's all. Just as we're talking, I had to pop back in because I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how fast it goes later in life.
Oh, buddy.
Then you realize it's short.
It's that, it's called, I think they call that old timer's disease.
Yeah, well, I call it, maybe I need my ass kicked.
Huh?
All right, I'm out again.
All righty, guys.
I got to take.
All right.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Before you go, hey, anybody out there, this is Dion. If anybody out there, I'm out here in Oklahoma City. If you ever need any backup, just these communists in our government, I'm here.
Right on, Dion.
I'm here for you because, you know, the bottom line is, man, I don't care what color you are. Man, I'm black as night, but I don't care if you're white, yellow, pink, or green. If you're out there for freedom, then I'm for you.
You're my brother.
You're my enemy.
All American nationals are my brother, and everybody who isn't an American national is my enemy.
You got
everybody.
It.
Yeah, and thank you, Dion. Anyways, guys, we have hit the top of the hour. We will be back. No, we will not be back because this is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm taking Monday off because my grandchildren are coming to see me, and I'm going to spend some time with them. We will be back on Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, just don't take no shit because that's what being American's all about, and that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above. I have done all I can do.
Cookies!